Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and that with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. And the second reading is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Hello, everyone. My name's Connor, and I'm the youth pastor from Menai Anglican, and it is a great joy to be here to open up the Word and to have a look at that psalm together. I think it's through preparing it's been one of my favourite psalms, so I'm really looking forward to it. So why don't we pray, and then we can jump in. Father God, I thank you so much for today. Father, I thank you that you have made a time, a space, a way for us to be able to meet together still, to open up your word, to sing songs, to pray, and to be sharpened and grown to be more and more like your son, Jesus. Father, I pray that today as we look at this psalm of praise, God, that you would help us in spite of all the things that are going on, that you would help us turn our minds and our hearts to praise you. And I pray that you would give me the boldness, the conviction, and the courage to speak faithfully and truthfully from your word. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. All right, it was the biggest debate for the last couple of decades. It was massive. It was a debate that invited the opinions, the thoughts of tacticians, of scholars, of journalists, maybe even scientists. Who is the best? Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, right? These are men that are just are giants in the footballing world, and I love football. Here are some of their achievements. They have both scored more than 700 goals in their career. They have each won the Ballon d'Or Award, which is the equivalent of the Best Player in the World Award, 5 times or more. They have won over 30 different titles. They have won the Golden Boot Award multiple times each, which is like the highest goal scorer award. And these guys, they know how good they are as well. In one of their interviews, this is what Cristiano Ronaldo says: God put me here on earth to play football. And then Messi heard this and he responded, "That's funny, I don't remember sending him." When I was younger, because of how good these guys were and the skills that they had, I worshipped these players. These players were just next level. No one could keep up. I would see the things that they could do, the way that they could beat players and their competitive edge and their drive. And because of how good they were, because of how out of this world good they were, I absolutely worshipped and adored and praised these guys. And the reason I say this is because I think that's kind of how it works, right? We praise things, we worship things that are worthy of our praise. I mean, you wouldn't go up to an athlete and say, "Hey, thanks for sitting on the bench all game. That was awesome." We praise things, we worship things that prove themselves worthy of our praise and show themselves to be deserving of our affection. And this is what we see in our psalm today, in Psalm 103. It's a psalm of David, and it's a psalm of praise. And in the psalm, he begins in verse 1 and 2 by saying, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name, and forget not all his benefits." You see, today we are looking at a psalm of praise and worship of God. And David is focused on praising the Lord. Now, I want us to remember who David is, right? Because yes, he was a king of Israel, and he was known for his faithfulness and his strength and his courage in war. But he was also a follower of God, someone who knew God's law, someone who knows about God, someone who has experienced grace. Does this sound familiar to you? If you're a Christian, that's us. If you follow God, that's us. But this guy, when he's writing this psalm, he is focused on praising God. So focused that he would preach it to himself. He's kind of yearning and craving and demanding it of his inmost being, his soul, that the entirety of his being would praise the Lord. I get this picture of David kind of dragging his soul, saying, "Come on, we're going to do this." And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you, do you do that? Do you praise the Lord with your entire being, with every fiber of your being? I recognize that many of us might not. Some of us might go through seasons or days where our feelings get in the way. Some of us might have forgotten to do this, especially now with everything that is going on in this season. And again, some of you maybe have never even thought about praising God. And so if you fall into one of these categories, well, I'm so glad that you are here, because after those first two verses of David stirring his soul to praise, he gives us a benefit. And then he gives us another benefit, and another one, and another one. And he just keeps giving us these benefits, these reasons to praise God. And he does this to show us why our God is so far beyond worthy of our praise and someone who we actually need to praise. And so I want to work through these benefits, but to do this, I want to illustrate it in a certain way. Do you guys enjoy getting to go to the beach? Right? Of course we do. We love it. One thing that I love to do when I go to the beach, you know, you kind of run around on the beach, you're playing cricket, or you're playing games with your family, or your friends, or you're doing whatever, you get all kind of hot and sweaty, but then you kind of just run into the ocean, you dive through the waves, refreshed, right? Something I like to do is when I dive through the waves, I stay underwater, but then I kind of quickly turn around and I watch that wave as it charges to the shore and crashes on the ocean. And as I hold my breath and as I sit under these waves, I kind of sink into the ocean. And everything around me is kind of forcing me to move with it. I'm being overwhelmed by the power of these waves. I mean, even the biggest kind of, you know, the Queen Mary cruise ships, even they are moved by these waves. And so here is what I want us to do today. As we look at these benefits, I don't want to just kind of talk about these things as if they're out there, kind of a floating in the wind. What I want us to do is what David did. I want us to, in a sense, I want us to dive into these benefits as if they are these powerful, refreshing waves. These waves that crash and have an impact. I want us to be personally and intimately immersed in them and overwhelmed by the power of them as they force us to move with them and lead us to praise God with our entire being. And so, church, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination today. As we look at these benefits, all of these benefits, imagine them as waves. As each wave comes, would you kind of let it just crash right on you? Would you allow these words of Scripture to kind of surround you and encircle you as the ocean would your body? Let's do that. So these waves or these benefits, they're going to come at us in two themes or two sets, if you like, to go with the wave analogy, right? Set one is God does, and set two is God is. So let's get into it. Set one, God does. The first set of waves or benefits, it's in verses 3-5, and this is what it says. It says, "He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." To understand these benefits, this first set, we need to understand who we are. And what the Bible tells me and the Spirit convinces me of is that who we, that is every single one of us, are, is sinful beyond measure, with our souls infested with a spiritual disease, and the habitat that we deserve for now and forever is the pit. And I can tell you now that I do not need to look far to see that this is true. I don't stand up here a perfect man. I fall short of my God every day. I can be proud and self-righteous and even cynical. Without the gracious activity of God, I am unrighteous before Him and am of His forgiveness. Thus, the sin might look different, but the destination is all the same. But here are the benefits. David reminds us that the Lord forgives in verse 3, the Lord heals in verse 3, and the Lord redeems in verse 4. God can redeem your life from the pit. How good is that? He steps in and he reaches down and he can pull you up from the mess and the filth and the muck that is down there, and he can kind of set you on solid ground. God, in his compassion and in his generosity, reaches in, he pulls you up, and he forgives you for all your sins. In fact, David goes on later in the psalm, and he says that actually God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? Can you tell me how far that is? Friends, for David, who lives centuries before Jesus, he's understanding this in black and white. Because yes, this is a reality for him, and yes, this is the future hope, as he knows God can and will do this. But for you and me, on this side of the cross, this is a certainty because of Jesus. We are seeing it in full color, HD, big plasma screen, you know, the big 80-inch ones. Like I said, I don't stand up here by any means perfect. But I stand up here covered by the blood of the perfect Son, confident that God forgives all my sins. He forgives all of my diseases. He heals all my diseases, and he redeems my life from the pit. Praise God, right? But it doesn't even end there. The first set isn't over. David goes on to say that God crowns you with love and compassion. You see, God, he doesn't just heal and forgive and redeem you and then set you kind of on your merry way. If that was the case, you can bet that we would be back in that pit within seconds. Now, David says that God draws us in. In fact, he comes so close that he could set a crown on your head with love and compassion. This is what he has for you and your life. Love and compassion. Praise God, O my soul. I just think this is crazy. I mean, I know me. I know my thoughts. I know the things that I've done. I've seen my sin, and it sickens me at times. And it leads me to frustration at myself, which in turn leads me to sin again. But what's more is that God knows me. He knows my heart and my soul, and it's embarrassing. I feel ashamed and guilty and completely unworthy. I shouldn't be anywhere near God. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, that we should feel that sense of unworthiness. Because, well, there is a very real gap between our worthiness and his goodness and grace. But through his son, Jesus, that gap is mediated by his death on the cross. The Lord forgives, the Lord heals, the Lord redeems, the Lord crowns. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And that's just the first set of the waves, right? This first set of benefits of knowing God, they're kind of like a tsunami on us, right? It's unbelievable. It's just wave after wave after wave, benefit after benefit after benefit. If David, he could end here, right? And this would be enough praise, enough things to fuel my praise forever. But there's more. The second wave kind of comes straight away as we're like doggy paddling still in the first set. And the second set is this: God is. The second set of waves or benefits, it's in verses 6 through to 19. And it is, again, another bunch of amazing benefits. There's just so much here. And so I want to ask you guys just to keep your Bibles open to that section. And we'll quickly, I want to make a few comments as we go through that. You see, David, he doesn't just praise God for what he does. He praises God for who he is, right? And what we find here is that actually these two things are one and the same thing. Everything that God does is a direct reflection of who he is. And the three things that I think David kind of hones in on as he does this is one, God is righteous. Two, he's compassionate and gracious. And three, he's everlasting. So wave number one, God is righteous. Verse 6 says this: the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. I want us to pause here, and I want you to think of all the injustice that you see in the world. The poverty throughout Europe, the child soldiers as a result of the power-hungry warlords in Africa, the child sex trafficking in Asia, the abuse and increasing rate of homeless children in Australia. Maybe it's the economic or the political injustices that we see all over the world. We do not have to look far to see injustice in our world. So praise God that he is righteous, that he works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Praise God that one day his just rule and reign will forever cover the surface of the earth, and not just that which is out there, but that all the injustice, including that in the deepest and darkest crevices of my heart and your heart, will be covered. Praise God. The second wave of this set: God is compassionate and gracious. As we read from verse 8, have a look at how compassion and grace kind of weave together. From verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Praise God for church. We are recipients of this compassion and grace. A compassion that means he does not look at us with anger and accusation and wrath that our sins deserve. He does not treat us the way we deserve. And by grace, instead, we receive the love and healing of God in Jesus. How does David know this? Well, because God in his compassion and grace has made his ways known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel and now to us by his son Jesus. Praise God. Praise God that he, the Most High, would reveal himself to us. And the third wave of this set, it's God's eternality. He's everlasting. Read with me from verse 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Can you comprehend everlasting? Eternity? Have you ever thought about being in heaven? I do that sometimes, you know, when my faith will be sight. The first thing that I would love to do is run up to Jesus and kind of wrap my arms around him, give him a big hug and hear him say those words of well done, good and faithful servant. Or maybe, you know, in awe, I'll kind of just fall to the floor on my knees and just bow in complete reverence. I don't know, but imagine being in his presence for 10 minutes and then being in his presence for a week and then a year and then 10 years. And then being in his presence for 100 years. And then you get to the end of that 100 years and you realize that you are no closer to the end than when he first called you. Praise God, because that is how long his love is on those who fear him. That is how long God will keep his people in his love. Praise God. You see, we might not see all these benefits right here, right now. They might not be immediately visible to us right now. But there will be a time where we see not in black and white, not even in that color 80-inch HD plasma screen TV. We will see in something that is far more glorious than that. Praise God. Well, there you have it. Right, the two sets of waves that stirred David to worship and praise. But I want to rewind a bit. Because did you notice who David is talking to at first? It says it in verse 1, he's talking to his soul. Not to others, not to those around him. David, he's taken this moment to reflect on himself and he's prompting and urging himself and stirring himself to praise the Lord. Why is this? Well, what does it say in verse 2? It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. You see, as humans, maybe this is a result of the fall, but as humans, we seem to be these habitual forgetters, always forgetting things. And what's worse is that we remember the negative, unhelpful things, and we forget the gold that we should remember. And so David is saying, soul, come on, praise the Lord. Yes, I know that life can be hard and things happen. Yes, I know that suffering will find us and that grief and tragedy will strike us and that wealth and comfort could distract us. But remember what he has done and who he is. My goodness, what has he done? Put those things at the front of your mind and do not let them wander to the back. Remember what he has done. Church, do not forget. Remember and praise the Lord. Earlier I mentioned how I fangirled Messi and Ronaldo and how I, you know, worship these guys and how it was because they proved themselves worthy of my praise. But the way that I would show I praise them, like most loyal sports fans, right, is cheering for them. I would cheer and scream and celebrate when Ronaldo scored that knuckleball free kick. I would talk about them with everyone and anyone who would listen. I would buy soccer jerseys, right, and they got their names on the back so that everyone knew that I was following. What I'm trying to say is that it was so evident that I followed and praised these guys. Church, God is worthy of our praise. He has proven himself to be time and time again by who he is and what he does. Praise him. Worship him. Cheer for him. Sing for him. Talk about him with anyone and everyone. Preach it to the world and preach it to yourself. Live so that others might see his name planted not on your back, but on your hearts. Praise him. But it doesn't stop there, does it? There seems to be this expansiveness to this praise. Because as David finishes this psalm, what does he do? As he finishes taking this trip down memory lane and remembering all the things that God has done, the only possible course of action forward is what? Is to get everything else and everyone else to praise the Lord. Verse 20, it says, praise the Lord, who? You, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. What is the proper response to the one who heals and forgives and redeems and crowns? What is the proper response to the one who is righteous and just, the one who is gracious and compassionate and everlasting? It is this cosmic praise, an echo and chorus of cosmic supernatural praise. So, church, we cannot be satisfied until all the angels and all the works of creation join us in praising the Lord. I mean, this is why we have kids ministry and youth ministry, and why we have missionaries all around the globe. Why we do SRE, right? So that people of every tribe and nation and tongue would praise the Lord. Mission and outreach, they are not the end goal. Praise and worship of our God is. Praise him and all that is within me. Not just some of me, not just half my heart, not just half my energy, not just half my time, half my mind, but all that is within me. And not just me, but all the angels. All the host of heaven, all his works, all of creation. Praise him. In Revelation chapter 4, the last book of the Bible, it's a vision or a revelation given to a man named John, right? And as John writes this revelation down, he gives us a picture of the throne room of God, the throne room of the creator and king of the cosmos. I think that's amazing. And this is what those around the throne were saying. It was our second reading for today. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Praise the Lord, my soul, for he is worthy. Church, know God and know his benefits and see that he is worthy. I'll finish with one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember who said it, so I can't tell you that, but I can tell you what the quote is. It's, why does heaven exist for an eternity? Because that is how long it will take to praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for all that you have done for us and are doing for us and will do for us. Father, but we thank you not just for the things that you do, but we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love and for your compassion and your graciousness and your mercy and your kindness and your gentleness. Father, we thank you that everything you do is a direct reflection of who you are. Father, I pray that your church, your people, would remember this and it would stir us to praise. Father, that we would think maybe every time we're in the ocean and as the waves kind of toss us around and push us around and overwhelm us, Father, that we would look at these benefits and it would have the same impact, that they would overwhelm us, that they would lead us to praise, and that we would honor you and honor Christ with every fiber of our being. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.